On Tuesday, the Senate Judiciary Committee begins what will likely be a contentious confirmation hearing for John Ashcroft to become the next Attorney General. If confirmed, Ashcroft will replace Janet Reno, the longest-serving Attorney General. After 8 years as the country's chief law enforcement officer, Reno leaves a legacy marked by three unmistakable proper nouns: Waco, Microsoft, and Alien. But Reno's tenure involved much more than a few high-profile controversies. Since she took over the office in 1993, the Justice Department's budget has more than doubled. Reno sent nearly $5 billion out of Washington for local law enforcement. Jim Oliphant is a reporter with the Washington-based newspaper Legal Times. He's been following Reno's career and says that around the country, she's regarded as something of a white knight riding into town to rescue local communities.
I think her biggest contribution probably lies in really embracing the idea of law enforcement on a local level. Before Janet Reno took over the Justice Department, I don't think the idea of the federal government making a difference in the streets and in communities of America was something that was really embraced by a lot of politicians. And her background in local law enforcement, her history as the state attorney in Miami, gave her, I think, a unique perspective on the challenges that are faced by local prosecutors, police departments. And I don't think it's any coincidence that we've seen a great drop in the crime rate during the 7 years that she held the job.
Why? What did she do that affected the crime rate?
Well, the easiest thing to talk about is the COPS program. Now, that wasn't Reno's initiative necessarily. That came out of the Clinton White House. But it was something certainly that Reno supported. It was about a much more full-scale approach, which involved sending federal money to state and local law enforcement organizations, police departments, courts, and the most concrete effect of that were actually cops on the streets, more judges behind the bench, different kinds of courts to handle different kinds of crime, for example, drug courts or domestic violence courts, things that could really make a difference in a community. I went in October to the town of Lowell, Massachusetts, and I had been there 6 or 7 years before. And the transformation of that town was remarkable. And they fully give credit to the federal government and the Justice Department and the money that they received from the department for that transformation. Basically, they said they were in a period of economic decline where they couldn't even afford to pay for their own police force, couldn't even afford to pay for a lot of the support functions, and that the money that they received from the federal government allowed them to increase police protection. It made business owners feel more secure about having businesses downtown. It sparked an economic revival in the town, and the results now are noticeable and dramatic.
Well, during the Bush and Reagan administrations, what was the Justice Department more concerned with?
It was really the more traditional model of what people believe a federal Justice Department should be about, and that involves going after very large-scale crime, organized crime, white-collar crime, the kinds of cases that can't be handled by a local prosecutor's office.
Of course, that reminds me of what's been going on under Reno's tenure, which is the Microsoft case. That's certainly a big white-collar crime case.
Well, the Microsoft case certainly is something I think that will define Reno's tenure as much as anything, Waco or Elion notwithstanding. And certainly that's the kind of case that we may see less of under a George W. Bush and John Ashcroft administration.
Now, what about, Microsoft is so huge, what about smaller white-collar, what about smaller corporations, I should say?
Well, it depends on the arena. One area where the Justice Department under Janet Reno has been particularly active has been in the civil rights arena with regard to small businesses. A real hallmark of the approach of the Civil Rights Division of the Justice Department has been its rather unrelenting quest for equal access involving disabled individuals, minorities, and they have not hesitated to sue Sam's Diner in, you know, Harlingen, Texas, or go after some small chain of convenience stores in Georgia if the government believes that they aren't providing equal access to all people.
Is this an example of the Justice Department overextending its reach?
Well, certainly its critics would see it that way, and I would think that the people who are in the business advocacy groups and the small business owners of America, they certainly aren't happy with the idea of the Justice Department coming to their door and basically ordering them to put in a ramp or whatever. But at the same time, there's certainly no argument that the law does require that these businesses, if they're going to be open to the public, provide equal access to all sorts of people.
How do you think the emphasis in the Justice Department will change if John Ashcroft is confirmed?
Well, I think what you're going to see is, I'm not so sure you'll see a downsizing, but I think you'll see a bit of a retrenchment. We already discussed the difference in antitrust. I think that there were many in the antitrust field who felt suddenly the presumption had shifted during Reno's tenure, where any large merger that was announced was immediately suspect. I think that presumption will be reversed again. I think in the civil rights arena, you're going to see a very dramatic change. Republicans tend to have a much more conservative view of civil rights and what the federal government should and shouldn't do with regard to the rights of a business owner to conduct their business. I also think you'll see John Ashcroft, if he does become the Attorney General, embrace again the more traditional functions of law enforcement. I think we'll see new initiatives on drugs. I think you'll see maybe an increased effort toward organized crime again, gangs. I wouldn't be surprised in the first few months of his tenure, if he does get confirmed, you'll see those sorts of initiatives announced.
You've examined Janet Reno's policies over the past 8 years and looked at how they've been implemented around the country. But I'm wondering if you've talked to the regular Joe who owns the diner, who owns the coffee shop or restaurant, and how do they look at her?
Well, it's interesting. I think there's a very different perception of Janet Reno outside the Beltway than in it. More often than not, she is actually regarded very positively by the majority of Americans that I've talked to. And they tend to see her as someone who's a bit above the partisan wrangling that exists here, and someone who is stuck to her own particular definition of integrity more so than most of the elected officials they've seen. I mean, people who have met her sort of describe the incident in rock star parlance. I mean, they're very impressed. They're very honored to have met her. They think that she is a compassionate, caring person who really listens to them, who cares about their local problems and issues. But I really do think that Janet Reno, she may be best remembered, despite all these cataclysmic events that happened during her tenure, she may be best remembered for her persona, the kind of person that people remember or think of her being.
Jim Oliphant is a reporter with the newspaper Legal Times. Thank you, Mr. Oliphant.
My pleasure.